This man was the bard of Australian beasts, a historian of science, who died last week, Ron Strawn.
I wish just once that I had been around to see a thylacine. I'm quite familiar with its looks from illustrations in old books, stuffed specimens in museum cases, skeletons in various places. Photographs of hunters posed with carcasses that they supposed showed hunting thylacines was fun and credit to the snare and gun. Some jerky movie shots survive to show some in a cage alive. I might have seen one if I'd tried. I was a boy when the last one died.
Ron Strawn, who was director of Sydney's Taronga Zoo in the 1970s, then went to the Australian Museum. He died in Melbourne a few days ago. More from him at the end. This is The Science Show on ABC Radio National, and I'm Robin Williams. And today, dodos with David Attenborough, the bionic vet with Oscar the cat, and some camels in the Red Centre. Wind power. We have some, especially around Esperance in Western Australia, and other countries have much more. Its deficiencies are well known, but now there's a surprising innovation. Annette Langbein reports.
Wind is a clean and infinite source of energy. It's unreliable, and wind energy technology is still quite expensive. Professor Seamus Garvey from the University of Nottingham thinks he has a solution for these problems. He proposes compressing air using wind turbines and storing the air in huge underwater balloons. Balloons the size of your house.
I started looking at wind turbines approximately 5 years ago, almost by accident, because I was really thinking about other ways to help colleagues to become involved in energy-related research. And I came up with a notion that we might store energy in compressed air. Now, that led me to work on wind turbines.
So the problem with wind energy is wind is not always blowing when you would actually need it. So it gets lost if you don't store it otherwise.
Exactly. Well, you say the problem. To my view, there are two big problems with wind turbines. The first one is the relatively high cost, and the second one is that the wind blows when the wind blows, and our demand for electricity doesn't coincide necessarily, and therefore it requires that you store some energy. And there are many different ways that you can store energy. Only very few are economic to store massive amounts of energy. And we need to store about a day's worth of electricity if we're going to be able to cope with what sometimes happens in winter here, which is that you get 3 or 4 days with almost no wind. So it's a serious problem. The thing that will ultimately determine what we use is cost. There are many pumped hydro stations around the world, and it's well established that the average cost is about $80,000 per megawatt hour of storage. Compressed air can be achieved for as little as $1,000 per megawatt hour, so that's 80 times less expensive. The existing battery technology is never cheaper than $500,000 per megawatt hour, so that's nearly 10 times as expensive as pumped hydro.
So now your idea includes huge balloons that are placed underwater and that can store compressed air. Why do you think it's the best way of storing wind energy?
I don't necessarily think it's the best way. You can either use that method for storing wind energy, or an equivalent or equally good is to use a salt deposit to store compressed air. But the trouble is that there are not salt deposits everywhere you might wish. So if you don't have a salt deposit, then a very good way to store energy is in these energy bags. There are two key benefits, but the biggest one is that you're making a containment for holding compressed air in, but you don't have to make a really thick-walled steel vessel. You can make something that has very thin sides to it, and you can use the pressure of surrounding water in the sea to hold the air in for you. And really all these bags have to do is to hold the air down at the bottom of the ocean, and the water does the rest. It's quite a clever idea. We're using the sea to actually help us to make a pressure vessel, and all we have to do is basically hold the air down.
What are they actually made of?
The most important element is the seal that contains the air on the inside and keeps the water on the outside. And the key material there is a butyl rubber. So the surface seal is rubber. It needs to be given some strength that is done by polyester. And then the main strength of these balloons has to come from some cable material, which the best candidate for is steel. It turns out that the optimum size of the balloon is about 20 meters across. So they're big compared to a human being, but they're not huge. They're in the order of a private house.
So how is the air compressed and how is it then transported to the balloons?
Well, I have a concept of wind turbines that can compress the air directly. And in actual fact, this is a part of the story. And I can explain it very, very simply to anybody who has ever seen a child's bicycle wheel with loose beads on the spokes, and you imagine the child cycling along, then the spokes lift up the beads until they're above the horizontal, and then those beads start to fall inwards along the spokes into the hub. And as those beads are falling, they're actually converting some energy. So now here are the changes you make from the child's bicycle. First of all, the beads are not on the outside of the spokes. They actually are on the insides. The spokes become blades of a wind turbine. And the rim of that wheel is removed. You don't have a rim. So what happens is the wind turns this. The blades are like the spokes of the bicycle wheel. And inside those blades, there are masses which act as pistons. And those masses travel upwards and downwards inside the blades. And that action compresses air. So in simple terms, we have a special sort of wind turbine that takes energy from the wind, and instead of making electricity directly, it makes compressed air.
Seamus Garvey, professor at the University of Nottingham, he combines two completely new technologies, wind turbines that compress air and underwater storage bags. If the wind blows, the compressed air can be used to generate electricity directly. If it's a calm day, the stored compressed air is released from the bags to drive a generator.
The balloons are in deep water and the wind turbines are also located in deep water. For that reason, they must be floating. But in actual fact, it's advantageous for offshore wind turbines to have them floating anyway. My wind turbines are specially designed for deep water. They have a floating framework, not a tower, to hold up the rotor of these things. And in effect, the wind turbines are very, very close to the energy bags that store the compressed air. They're just overhead by about 600 meters.
You would need a large number of balloons. How can you actually make sure that this doesn't affect the environment, the seabed? And I guess they also must be repaired from time to time.
I admit that there's potential for some local disturbance to the marine environment where these balloons are, but the fact of the matter is that we're a power-hungry people, and the way we're getting our power at the moment is far more destructive to the environment and far more upsetting to the eye than what I propose. So a thing to bear in mind is that no person will ever even see these balloons. Secondly, they will occupy a tiny fraction of the amount of seabed area that there is.
Currently, you're testing your idea with prototypes. Do you actually have some of these huge balloons in your lab?
Well, I've got a scaled-down version of these balloons. So I have two balloons of size 1.8 meters. We've got two of them in a tank, and we're pumping one up and letting the other one down and cycling them. And the target is to get to 5,000 cycles to demonstrate that this construction is good for at least that many cycles. The project that funds those two balloons also has funding to prepare a quarter-scale balloon, which will go under the sea later this year. So probably, I guess, the middle of 2011, we will be looking at a first energy bag in deep water, still being supplied with compressed air that doesn't come from a wind turbine, but only for test purposes.
Great Britain and also Australia, they are not really known for generating a lot of energy with wind farms. For example, Denmark is creating 20% of their energy by wind. Germany has about 20,000 wind turbines, and Australia just around 1,000. Why are some countries still so far behind when it comes to wind energy?
That's a very good question. I think the answers to that are more political than technical. It is true that the UK at the moment has more offshore wind than any other country in the world, and the UK potential for offshore wind is so big that we could supply not only all of our electricity, but we could supply all of our energy requirements, everything, for transport and heating and electricity, all from offshore wind alone, without doing anything else. So for the UK in particular, the resource out there is absolutely huge, and we're really only on the very start of discovery.
Professor Seamus Garvey with his windbags talking to Annette Langbein. And the alternative in salt, by the way, refers to leached out salt cavities underground. And happy birthday, Seamus.